Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 15 this morning. Luke chapter 15, we're going to read verses 20 through 24 this morning. Luke chapter 15, verses 20 through 24. As you're finding your place, if you're able, please stand to your feet and honor the Word of God as we read the Word of God this morning. Luke chapter 15 and beginning at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for our ability and freedoms and just being able to be here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we listen on the internet, as we sit in this room gathered together. I pray that you'd do a work in our hearts and our lives from this passage. Help us to hear what you have for us individually today. Now, Father, for that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him to help us today. And, Father, if there's somebody in this room or on the internet this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, keeping your Bibles open today, would you notice that we picked up in the middle of this parable that Jesus teaches that we have come to call the parable of the prodigal son? Jesus taught 51 parables. A parable is a truth that is drawn from everyday things and events in life. The parable of the prodigal son is the parable about a family, a father and two sons. The younger son comes to the dad one day and says, Dad, I want my inheritance now instead of later. And the Bible says the father divided unto them, me both his sons, what their inheritance would have been that day. And of course, the younger son had a plan. The Bible said he took that inheritance and he went to a far country. And he wasted his substance on riotous living. I don't think we have to define that for you, do we? Partying hard and living like an idiot. While he is doing that, a famine arises in the land. Famines take years to develop, so this kid's not paying attention to life. He's too busy paying attention to himself. While he's depleting his bank account, the famine is coming. And just about the time he's broke, he and the famine have a head-on collision, and he's got nothing. He goes to a local farmer and tries to get a job. You see, he lived with his dad and brother on a place where they had care and housing, farms. He had experience. Farmer, it's a famine time. Jobs are hard to come by. So the farmer gives him a job feeding his pigs. Now you understand this is Jesus with his Jewish heritage, talking about a young man of Jewish heritage who now has to feed pigs. You weren't even supposed to get near them. You weren't supposed to touch them as a Jew. Now this young man with all the hopes and aspirations of his own selfish life winds up in a pig pen eating pig food. The Bible said he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. He literally tried to make the hog pen work. This kid is a stubborn fool. He's living with pigs and he's trying to make eating pig food work. You ever slop hogs? Well, that's not something we do much anymore. Lived on a farm for a while as a kid. When you're the youngest one around, you get the least favorite jobs. And guess which one that is? besides cleaning the chicken coop, slopping hogs. They kept a bucket under the sink, and all the scraps went in there. Plus, when you pluck chickens, you throw all the stuff you plucked off the chicken feathers, the guts, everything else, you throw that in another bucket. When you go slop hogs, you take all the guts and parts from the chickens plucking and the stuff from under the sink that you had left over from meals that you didn't eat. And in our house, there wasn't a lot left over. And you take it out there and you throw it down. Them pigs would eat it. They would eat the pig feet. They would eat the chicken feet. They'd eat each other. This guy's living in a pig pen eating pig food. And then the Bible says, he came to himself. You know what happened? The light came on. And this kid all of a sudden realizes how he got to the pig pen and how much he had given up. And he said, I will arise and go to my father and tell him I have sinned against heaven and against you. And I'm not even worthy to be a son anymore if you'll just let me be a servant in your household. And he gets up from that pig pen and makes the journey back home. And the Bible says when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him coming and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his son's neck and kissed him. And the son pushes his dad back and he says, just a minute, Dad, I have to tell you something. I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. He never got to the part of just make me a servant. The father interrupts him and says, no, son, bring the best robe now. Let's cover him up. Put a ring back on his finger. He's given everything away he had that was part of his sonship. He gave it all away. Put shoes on those naked feet now and get that fatted calf we've had prepared for him, and we're going to have a feast because my son that was lost is found, and my son that was dead, he's alive. And the Bible said they began to be merry. Do we need to set the characters in a parable for you, because that's what's important? The father would be our heavenly father, and the prodigal, well, that's you. That's me. Of Jesus' 51 parables, this is my favorite of all. Do you know why? Because I was a prodigal son. I left my father and went to a far country on foolishness. And by the grace and mercy of God, I came to myself and knew where I needed to go. And I rose and went to my father. And when I was a great way off, he had compassion on me. And he met me halfway and restored me in my life. See, every one of us is the prodigal son. Everybody in this room, every human being on this planet is a prodigal at least once. Some of us, twice. Because the parable is a picture of how that we as sinners turn away from God and we get away from him in a far country. And if we're willing to turn back to him and seek his face, that he is willing to forgive us and restore us, that's salvation. Then for some of us, after our salvation, we were dumb enough to go to the far country and waste it all again and found forgiveness and restoration again when we came back to our Father. This morning, because I picked this up in the middle of the parable, because I just want to take a brief portion of this parable and talk to you about learning some things about God's forgiveness, because that's what the parable is. It is God's forgiveness of us prodigals. Can we get right to it this morning? You know what you learn from this parable of God, our Heavenly Father, who forgives us his prodigals? First of all, you learn this. God's forgiveness is waiting for you. When he was yet a great way off, the Bible said, because, see, the Father was looking for his son to come back. He wanted him to return. Now, listen carefully. There was no forgiveness in the far country. We'll get to what that means in just a moment. But when that young man stepped out of that pig pen and made his journey, when he was yet a great way off, do you know what that means? That means the father was looking for his son to come back. He was wanting him to return. He was waiting for him to come back so the Father could give this young man the forgiveness that he needed. And my friend, that's you and me this morning. God's forgiveness is waiting for you. His desire is to forgive us. He wants to. You know what? It's amazing when you think about it. We're looking at our Romans study on Wednesday nights, how that God is just and the great justifier of the ungodly that come to him. God's forgiveness is waiting for you today. Do you realize that that means when we sin, and listen, we are the prodigal. We turned, we walked off, we left him. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to our own way, yet he laid on him the iniquity of us all. That God has been waiting even yet still for to offer us his great forgiveness. It's waiting for us. If we understand our Bibles correctly, it means that God has already decided to forgive you before you ask for it. Well, then I don't need to ask. Oh, yes, you still need to ask. But wait a minute. It simply means God is sitting back and waiting on you and I to turn to him for the forgiveness he's willing to offer us. You don't have to feel like, well, I don't think God could ever forgive me of this in my life. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And yes, he can. And yes, he will. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Listen, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you know why he's waiting to forgive you? Do you know why he's willing to do this? Because he looked at what Jesus did on the cross, and when Jesus said, "It is finished," he made the payment for our sins. He literally bought us the forgiveness of God. That's why there's no salvation in any other except Jesus Christ. Nobody. You want forgiveness, you have to come to God on his terms through his son Jesus to have salvation. But he's waiting. He's simply waiting today. You see, someone once taught me years ago that when Jesus died on the cross, he first of all died for the righteous judgment and righteous requirement of what God the Father expected. He died for God first of all. Not because God needed to be forgiven. God needed us, needed to be able to turn to us and receive us. That's why the Bible calls it in 2 Corinthians the ministry of reconciliation. We've already been reconciled to God because of Christ. His death reconciles us to God. Not our works, not our church, not our religion, not what we do. It's Jesus' death on the cross that has reconciled you to God. Now our Heavenly Father he's able to turn to us and receive us. Now we must come to God through Christ to receive that forgiveness that he's offered to us. But my friend, it is waiting for you. Could you imagine this morning, you get home from church and the UPS man has come by and hung a sticker on your door saying, "There is a package waiting for you." I would venture to say most of us probably wouldn't throw it in the trash. Most of us would want to know, what is that? Someone sent me something. Someone's offered me something. I have something waiting for me. You'd probably, if you didn't do it today, I bet you would first thing tomorrow. I venture to say first thing tomorrow, you'd find out what that was because somebody has sent you something. God is offering you forgiveness for Jesus' sake. Take it. Hey, don't set the terms. Don't say, "Well, yeah, I see. I know he's forgiven me, so that's good." No, 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 no. Know that he is offering you that forgiveness. He's left you the most amazing thing on this planet, the unspeakable gift of forgiveness through Jesus Christ for your life and your sin. God's forgiveness is waiting for us this morning. There is no forgiveness in the far country because, number two, God's forgiveness responds to our repentance. There's no forgiveness in the far country. Something's happened to some people. They've lost their mind. They advocate the forgiveness of God so greatly without any repentance on our part. Well, after all, God forgives. That's true. God forgives. After all, God forgives. But God forgives you if you leave the far country. God forgives you if you turn to him. God forgives you if there's a repentant soul. He said, this young man is in the hog pen. He said, "I will arise and go to my father and say, I have sinned against heaven and against you." And when the young man got to his father, what did he say? "Well, you know, Dad, it was a tough economy." "Well, you know, Dad, you have to understand something. I'm codependent, Dad. That's my problem. I'm codependent." And he got to his father and he said, "You know, Dad, you have to understand, you were pretty harsh on me. You were tough. You made me get up and work every day. And after all, it was difficult and I wasn't feeling good about myself. I wasn't in a good place, Dad. And because I wasn't in a good place, I went to the far country. Hogwash. You understand that?" That sounds good with a prodigal son. Hogwash. That fits. You know what he did when he came home? He said, "I've sinned against heaven and against you." That's what you call repentance, forgiveness. This amazing forgiveness of God is waiting for us, but God is waiting for us to get up out of the hog pen and say, you know what? I was wrong. I've sinned against God, and I've sinned against my Heavenly Father, and I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned, and I've just come to God to say, Father, I have sinned. That's all. David committed adultery and then murder to cover his adultery. And when confronted about his sin, you know what David did, don't you? He said, well, it's that woman's fault. She was out there bathing, and I saw her. It wasn't my fault. It's that woman's fault. I wasn't feeling good at the time, and I just happened to step out. It was just an accident of a moment. In a moment of passion, I happened to do. David made no excuses. In Psalm 51, when David talks about his sin with Bathsheba, David never mentions Bathsheba. And he never excuses himself for what he did. When he was confronted by Nathan the prophet and said, you're the man that did this, David, David's response was very simple. I have sinned. God's not asking you to beg and crawl, but look at me, friend. He's willing, he's wanting you to be willing to admit you were wrong and that you wronged him and that you wronged God. This amazing forgiveness of God. See, why would it be that when the Father saw the Son a great way off like that, why do you think he would run to him? Why is it the Father doesn't say anything to the Son? It's the Son who speaks first. Because he wanted him to come home. And then when he saw him, the boy gave his clear, simple little speech. I have sinned against heaven and against you, Dad. And I was wrong. God's forgiveness is waiting our repentance. Us to acknowledge that we've done wrong. He's willing to give us that forgiveness. He's waiting. He's provided it. Now God is just looking for an honest, sincere prodigal. Here's good news. You and I can do that. Haven't you ever choked on people's excuses for why they do what they do? Oh, well, it's not my fault. You know, after all, I come from a tough childhood, and it's not my fault. I have these problems in my life. It's not, you know, my goldfish died, and I've just never been the same, and you know, and it's amazing what people come up with for excuses and reasons. It is. And some of them are, you would think, well, that's a justifiable reason. There's no reason to violate God's word. And if I do it, look at me, own it. Just look at God and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Hey? Now notice something in the Bible here, please. God's forgiveness has provision that's attached to it. Look at verse 22. When this boy makes this speech and says, by the way, it wasn't just a speech. He really was sorry. There's something about sincerity in this forgive me, Father thing. You know that? Lip service forgiveness is... You know God is smarter than that. We do know that, right? Okay, fine, I'm sorry. We've done that kind of forgiveness before. I mean the forgiveness of I've sinned. I'm sorry, Father, I've sinned. That's all. He's not looking for anything else. He wasn't even looking for the servant quarter thing. He was just looking for I've sinned. He got that. Then look at verse 22. Look at it. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the, he gives him four things. The best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf. Let's have a barbecue. That's between the verses there. And kill it and let us eat and be merry. Aren't you glad the prodigal was not vegan? Must have known he was not. Now, if you're a vegan, if you're a vegetarian, vegan, or you're a fruitarian, you know what a fruitarian is? They won't eat anything unless it falls off the tree, branch, or bush. You don't even pick it. It's got to fall off a tree, branch, or a bush to eat it. Fruitarian in the dictionary, you look it up, it's under stupid. That's what it's under. But that's fine. But if you're a vegetarian or a vegan or a fruitarian or you're a non-carnivore, whatever your situation is, I'm for you, okay? If I sound like I'm making fun of you, it's because I am. I'm for you because the less meat you eat leaves more meat for us carnivores, okay? So that's very important for you to get that concept. Kill the fatted calf. Oh, yeah. Put that boy on a steak and start roasting him. We are going to. He provides him with four things because it's a picture of what God's forgiveness provides for you. The robe. Well, that's the covering of God's forgiveness. When he left the hog pen, I didn't see anywhere where it said he packed his goods, loaded a U-Haul. He came home with nothing. He left with everything. He came home with nothing. And when he comes home, see, you're living in a pig pen. If you've ever been around a pig pen before, they're not real clean and neat. Listen to me. They're pigs. You got that? They're pigs. They live like pigs because they're pigs. And he's in there living in the pig pen. So guarantee, this boy does not smell like he's been wearing Brute aftershave. And he's coming home and he's got pig stuff all over him. What's the stuff? Figure it out. He's got pig stuff all over him. And those pigs have chewed on him and his clothing. He doesn't even have a pair of shoes anymore. He sold his ring to try to live a little bit longer in the pig pen. He's coming home barefooted, bareheaded, and barely enough clothes on his back. And when his father says, "No, son, you're home. Put a robe on him. Let's cover up all that stuff. Let's cover up what he did. Let's cover it all now." God is not condoning his sin. He's just simply saying, "Son, when I forgive you, you're going to look like my son again." It's the covering of God's forgiveness. Oh, as far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Amazing the forgiveness of God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wipes the slate clean. Everything's right between you and him. The robe covers us. The ring on his hand, see, that was the son born to a father was given a ring to indicate his sonship. He'd given that thing away. You say, "Well, then see, he wasn't a child anymore." Well, he was still his son, for he said, "This my son," before he put the ring back on. "This my son." No, he didn't give up his relationship. He gave up his closeness to his father. He gave up what he had before because he decided, you know what, those few bucks he got out of that, those few dollars or whatever it is, he got out of that ring, that was more important than what the ring indicated to the world, that he belonged to his heavenly father. And God says, "No, let's put a ring back on that hand again." He said, "For he's back home and this is my son and the fellowship between us is restored." That's important, isn't it? Boy, look at me. If just the forgiveness of God just restored fellowship, it'd be worth it. No, you don't have to go back and be a son again. He didn't say, "Now this is my son again." He said, "This is my son." Before the ring got on his hand, he was still his son. But what he was simply saying is, "Now, son, you're going to identify with me, and I'm going to identify with you. And fellowship is restored. You're home." Then he says, "Put shoes on his feet." So the path that led him out, you know, when he left home, he had shoes. When he came back, he has no shoes now. They're gone. So now he's walking barefoot on dusty, dirty roads in that. You know, it's amazing what a shoe represents here. It represents the fact that the father now tells him, "My forgiven son, you get back on the path you're supposed to be on. Now you're home, son. We don't walk around barefoot here. Son, you put your shoes on. You're going to walk the path that I give you. I'm going to provide the shoes and get it back." You know what people do nowadays? They take God's forgiveness, get restored in their life, woo! And they take off running to go do whatever it is they want to do with their life. That's not what he gave you forgiveness for. He gave you forgiveness for you to get back on the right path, to do the things you're supposed to do. Oh, how Catholic we are in our living, you know? We go into a phone booth, tell some guy dresses like a mother, calls himself a father, what we did that's wrong, and Swami, "Oh, you guys in the army, get off the grass, woo!" And we just run off with our forgiveness like it's no big deal. That's not us, my friend. See, there needs to be this thing of repentance to forgiveness and repentance from forgiveness. "Whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy." God put shoes on your feet for you to get back on the right path and do what you're supposed to do. Get back on that road. Now, son, you're going to go out and with the field. You're going to work the fields again and you get back on it. See, we don't need to take forgiveness for granted. We need to take advantage of the fact that our God, our loving, patient, merciful, amazing Heavenly Father was willing to wipe the slate clean and cover us with a robe and put a ring on our hands. Now put shoes on our feet. Now let's walk straight. Let's do right. Let's get right. Let's honor God. Let's live for Him. Let's do what He wants us to do with our lives. Those shoes were given us to take the path God now wants you to take. Forgiveness. And then the fatted calf. See, that's a picture of how in olden days and in still some cultures, you go to visit them, they make you a meal instantly. If I come to visit you, start cooking. You knock on the door and you look out that little fish eye. You see me right there. So I call, get in the kitchen. See, Pastor Johnson, you're trying to get a free meal? You picking up on that, Spanky? Really? Are you figuring that out? Yeah. Get the fatted calf. What is that? Well, that's a meal. Hey, he didn't say get the fatted chicken. Huh? Get the fatted tofu. Nobody eats tofu. Tofu. Doesn't even sound right. Sound like something between your toes. Tofu. Nasty. You ever eat tofu? Doesn't even have any flavor to it. You got to put gravy on it to eat it. It's so nasty. Kill the fatted calf. Ooh. You see, it would be a calf, ladies and gentlemen, which means he's preparing a meal, which means God is now going to provide for you blessings and provision. You mean, wait, look here. He forgives me. He restores me. And now he starts providing for my life? Yeah. You know what's better than barbecued calf? Leftover barbecued calf. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You take some of that leftover barbecued calf, some of that beef, and you get you some rolls. And you put a couple slabs of cheese on each side of that roll so you don't bruise the meat. And then you load that up and put some barbecue sauce on that. Some potato salad, macaroni salad, maybe a couple slices of a watermelon. A big jug of sweet tea. Sweet tea. Not unsweetened. Not stevia tea. Sweet tea. Look here, darker than this suit. It's got so much sugar in it. And you have the calf for that meal and the next meal, hey? And after, you're going to eat on that calf for a while. Because you see, God says, it's the fatted calf. You know, he already has something planned for you on the other side of his forgiveness. Hey, he's got something for you on the other side of his forgiveness. Well, I wonder what that would be. Get forgiven and find out. Come home. Get it right. Come back to the Father. He has something for you. He's got a provision in life. I'm not promising. I'm not advocating. You know, you'll get everything you ever want in life. How stupid could people believe that kind of junk? No. I'm simply saying he has provision. Once forgiveness is offered, he's got provision. The fatted calf. That one that God put aside. Our Father set that aside for us so we'd have this. He's ready to provide and take care of. And he has a plan for your life, but it's on the other side of forgiveness. There's no plan in the hog pen. There's no plan in the far country. You're on your own. Oh, but you come to the Father and say, Father, forgive me. I've sinned. And he says, well, let's get the meal prepared. Let's make sure things are provided here. And he has provision for you. Now, some of us have been a prodigal son twice, but this boy right here never becomes a prodigal again. I guess it was so good to be home and forgiven and restored. I guess it was so good he just never left again, huh? God's forgiveness is way past amazing. Hey, God's forgiveness is so incredible that he's still looking on the horizon from the far country for you and for me to come back. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.